Blog Talk Radio.
Be no second guessing. You feel it deep in your heart. You know that if it says a feeling inside will let you know something that you can't deny. Just let it go. They say it's better to love than never love at all. To appreciate all the good, sometimes you gotta fall. But I was foolish. I shouldn't have let you go. But now I miss you. I gotta let you know.
I need you back, back in my life. I need your kiss.
To the KNT's Hot Topic Show. It is 8:02 p.m. on Sunday, July 11th. Thank you all for tuning in. I know some of you are on your way. Some of you haven't gotten here, but that's all good. We're going to go on anyway. Tonight's topic is going to be, we're going to talk about families. We're going to talk about the mess, the stress, and all the rest. You know, anywhere from the lack of role models for our children to discipline in our children, how the government is continually to get into households and tell us what we can and can't do with our children, yet when something goes wrong, they want to turn around and blame the parent when they've taken the authority out of our hands to discipline our own children. We're going to talk about, you know, bonds between mothers and daughters. Why are they falling apart? Where are the absentee parents, whether it's men or women? We're going to talk about it all, from the good, the bad, the ugly, the whole thing. I'm going to start off tonight, which I haven't done yet, and every week I tell my partner, Tony, I tell you this every week, don't I, that I'm going to start off with a poem, and I never do. So in the last 2 minutes, I grabbed my book and flipping through the pages and trying to find one. And I think I found one, and that kind of, you know, goes into some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. So with that, I'm going to go on ahead and do the poem, and then we'll get right into the topic. This poem is called Freebie, Free Me. Flames burn within me, and I am useless to quench its fire. Desire builds, and yet I know not from where. Images rejected, memories reflected, images, memories rejected. leaves me feeling alone once again. Who is this little girl in the window I see calling to me, begging for help? I know not how to receive her thoughts, her hurts. How can I hear what I don't believe? Sand beneath my toes, moonlight in my mind's eye, frantic rummaging to find lost keys to open unknown doors. Tiny rivers flow down cheeks, leaving imprints with morning's dawn. I can't see. Heat from within release dust to dawn. Imagined images can't tell right from wrong. You weren't there to hold me. Protection was not in your will. Arms that should have loved me made me bow to their will. Broken and torn inside, heart confused, and I was seriously longing to die. Only thing my eyes can do is cry. Why? I can't speak your name. My stomach turns if you come my way. Forgiveness I pray for one day, but till then, my soul only knows this rain. Damage for any man who dares come, afraid of love's touch, can't distinguish thanks from your rage. Pop, I just wanted to thank you so much for calling me your princess, for showing me how to love, for telling me you're glad you had me as you laid atop your little girl. Thank you for killing my future, for killing my joy, for taking my creativity. I was supposed to be your joy. I pray that God will heal me. I know I have love to give. Someone will truly care for me, though you told me no one ever will. You'll miss out on your grandkids, never see their faces. You'll miss out on the one day joy becomes my commonplace. When my dreams I finally reach and you wake and on TV see me, never call me your daughter, because one day soon from your hell, I'll be free. So we're going to start from there. Little kind of emotional, not too emotional piece, no longer for me, but we're going to start from there and get into some things about family. And I guess I'll start with just talking a little bit about family and what it means to me and what I think is lacking in family in America. You know, for me, my dream, my ultimate dream for family would be, you know, a family that prays together, that congregates together, that does things together, that is loving and supportive. And I guess that's kind of fairy-tale-ish when you think of the way families are actually today, you know, where there's parents that are jealous of children, where you have mothers actually competing for affection with their daughters from their husbands, or thinking, you know, oh, she's so beautiful and I wish I was that beautiful again, and she got all the boys after her. And you got women in their 40s and 50s trying to dress like they're teenagers just to get attention. You got mothers that for whatever reason or another have no relationship with their children, whether it be daughters or sons. Favoritism within families where, you know, one child is the angel child and the other child is, you know, your brother plays sports and he's the all-star and what are you, you know, and the other child is kind of made to feel that way. We have all this type of stuff going on today within our families, you know, not to mention the broken homes, not to mention the numerous single-parent homes going on in this country, really kind of becoming an epidemic where, you know, you don't have to be with the baby's mother or you don't have to be with your man to raise that child together. And it seems to be when one leaves the other, the child is the one who loses out, because there's no one comes back to still take on that role of father or mother. It's, well, he has the kid, so I can go off and start a new life and not even look back, or she has the kid, and I can just move on and not look back on my child at all. And it's that child that loses out, and that parent that becomes, you know, inwardly angry and unfortunately sometimes takes it out on the child. The mother either has to work, you know, two or three jobs, or, you know, God forbid they have a child with special needs or anything like that. So now they're also working and taking doctor's appointments and all other types of things while the father's out living the wonderful life, or the mother is out living the wonderful life, whatever it may be. But Steve, you know, you can chime in on this anytime you so choose. Give some type of feedback. No? Are you there? Oh, he's having trouble with his phone. We're going to have to share mine.
I was just going to say, that was a good run. That made a lot of sense, and it had a lot of thought in it. That's why I didn't chime in, because it, you know, you were on a run. We do have a lot of situations going on. Every situation differs in America. We have a lot of different families that are going through a lot of different things. And, I mean, it's very saddening to look at. And the kids are the ones that end up losing out in the end. And we need to come up with some way to get our objectives straight and to get our priorities in check. I mean, you got men that don't want to stand up and be men. They don't have a problem with making babies. They're caught in the moment, and they want to make babies, and then they want to run. You know, and then normally you talk to the next woman and making more babies, you know. And these women are stuck in a situation where they have to become mother and father. So it can be kind of disheartening to watch and to see. And like I said, it's epidemic in the United States right now, and we need to come up with something. We need to do something because the situation is getting worse. It's getting a lot worse. Me as a man, I have a daughter who I had to, you know, I helped raise, and I feel I did a good job. I tried. I couldn't imagine not being there for my kid like that. I mean, in a situation where things happen and you're not with, say, the woman that you have a child with, you still, in that case, you should still be able to take care of that child. You should still want to take care of that child. Do the best that you can to at least be there for that child. So I couldn't imagine just leaving my kid like that. I mean, they're like, they should be, at that point, they should be my pride and joy, you know. Granted, you don't always plan for a child to come into the world, but when they do, you pick up the reins. You do what you have to do. You handle your business and be a man, because that's what it's called. That's what's being expected of you, is to be the man. If you create a situation, work with that situation. Do what you have to do. Not that I really want to call it a situation, but I mean, again, you didn't do what needed to be done to prevent it. So now that that child is there, let the child know that their child's loved. Let the child know that they're not alone. And you may not get along with the mother, but I mean, in that instance, again, do what you have to do in order to supply the needs to that child so that the child doesn't lose out in the end. Because what we do concerning these children now at that age, that's what they end up growing up in. That's what they see. That's what they feel. You know, we don't think about their feelings or their thought process. And a lot of these kids out there feeling lonely, feeling deserted, they're catching feelings because the men in a lot of situations, and some women, decided they weren't going to have any feelings for the kid. They were just going to up and leave, you know, or desert the needs of that child. And most of the time, they don't give it a second thought. So we need to be mindful of what's going on with these kids. We need to be mindful, and we need to know that we're affecting their future. And for me, that's the utmost of importance. I mean, the kids come first. So, I mean, forget all the crap with not getting along with the spouse or the partner, so to speak. If you can't get along with them, you at least got to do what you can do for that child. The child is losing in the end. Not good. Not good at all.
All right. See, we got some men that will you know, keep it the way it's supposed to be. I mean, not all relationships last. Not all people stay together, but the children don't have to suffer in the long run for that, you know. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, I was coming home from somewhere, and one of the local radio stations around here was talking about how they're bringing sex ed back into the schools, how one of the schools, like one of the school systems in Connecticut, which is the neighboring state where I live, is now, it's their new rule with along with the sex ed is any child who asks for a condom will be given to it. Now, they'll have to go through, you know, some type of sex ed class or some type of, teaching to make sure, you know, I guess that they properly know how to use it or something of that nature. But basically, they're going to be handing out condoms in school. And, you know, the question is, you know, how do you feel about that? You know, you may have, and we can't keep our kids from doing things, you know, and some people feel like, well, if they're going to do it, I want them to be safe, but I don't really want them doing it. So, you know, how do you go about that? If I don't want, I really want my kid, at least my goal was, please, let's just get out of high school. You know, I know it's not the end thing. Kids are having sex now in elementary school. Kids are making babies in middle school. I mean, they got 10-year-olds popping up pregnant, which is ridiculous to me. But, you know, so it's like, okay, well, if that's going to be the case, then, you know, shouldn't I, as a parent, then say, okay, well, I want them to be able to get protection. But it kind of takes out the parent role. You know, as if, well, they don't even have to tell me they're having sex anymore. They can just go to the school nurse and get a condom. You know, okay. I don't have to know anything about it anymore. You know, my feelings, my thoughts, my beliefs are, you know, they're taken right away from me. And then if this child uses that condom and it pops and it breaks and they get somebody pregnant, can I sue the school? Because you gave them that condom. No. You know, so, I mean, see, I think I fixed it so that you can talk now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, you can hear me now.
Yeah, there was a button I didn't push.
Oh, so it's your fault. Okay.
Yeah, it was my fault.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, what do you think? I mean, we have, he is the step parent to my four children now. You know, my youngest is 6. I have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 19-year-old. So, I mean, basically the 19-year-old is grown. The 17-year-old is in college. So, I mean, can you imagine Javier or Janessa going to school and getting a condom? I mean, this is boy or girl. They're not gender biased. It could be Javier. It could be Janessa. It could be one of my nieces or nephews. I have a niece who's 13. You know, he can go into school and have a nephew who's 12 and get a condom and do something and the parents are oblivious to this fact now.
Okay, there's a flip side to that. There's a flip. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, there's a flip side to that. The flip side to that is that the parents aren't taking on the role of parents, which is what we were saying. It's mixed in with what I was saying about the fathers being there and taking on the role. What's happening is the parents aren't taking the time. See, the father's not there. It can go in reverse, but the fathers aren't there. And the mother is left to support the kids. And it could be one or two kids, could be more than that. They have to supply needs to all of these kids. So they're turning around, even if it's one. And nowadays, that's hard enough. And the mother has to play every role possible. She's out there working. She's out there doing what she needs to do. To supply needs for these kids. A lot of times that doesn't enable her to be home. So that's leaving these kids out there with free rein. You know, a lot of these kids are what we used to call key latch kids. You know, at the age of 5, 6, 7, they got keys to the house. It's because they need to be able to get in the house because mom's not going to be there. You know, dad's never around, and he's probably out, you know, living elsewhere with somebody else. So what the kids need, these talks that they need from the parents, Well, you got one that's not there, and the other parent that's like, not to be funny, but busy. Not in a negative way, like I'm busy with my show, but she's out here working like two or three jobs to supply the needs for these kids that they didn't create by themselves. And it doesn't enable them the time they need to be home with these kids to go over these things. So the catch to that is if the parents don't pick up the role, somebody should, because then they end up doing what they want to do and creating babies. I know somebody now who has a baby. They hooked up with an older girl. They had a baby. They had the baby. Neither of them was ready for it. But the mother was never there. This woman has a boyfriend. Stays at the boyfriend's house. She has a job, but she stays at the boyfriend's house. Right now she has teens. She has teenage boys. They're actually staying home in her house. So basically it's a situation where the kids are running the house. They have a house to themselves because she's never there. So now one of them, actually two of them, have kids. And she got upset when she found out that she was going to be a grandmother again. But the thing was, you set up the dynamic, you know. And that's what that's where the problem comes in. There's a dynamic that's set in play.
But see, that's not always the case, because I can say my mother was a mother that kept an eye on her kids. She would show up to the school just so we didn't think about skipping school. She got home after us, but we knew when we got home, when she got home, our homework better have been done, our school clothes better have been changed. There was no type of playing around allowed. It just was not allowed. We knew what to do when she got home. I got pregnant right out of high school. You know, it was like, okay, my mother's thing was, until you turn 18, you're going by my rules. So it was like, 18, yes, I'm free. I can do what I want to do. And even at 18, I really still wasn't free because I was living in her house. So I still had to go by her rules. You know, it was like I told you, I got kicked out because I stayed out all night one time. And I was like, and I was 18. I was definitely over 18. And I stayed out at my cousin's house, who lived like two streets over, because I couldn't get into the house. Did come home, couldn't get in. She was like, I should have slept in my car in the driveway. But when I came home at 10 o'clock the next morning, I was kicked out. But, I mean, when I got pregnant, it was, you know, it wasn't because, you know, she wasn't paying attention. It wasn't because she didn't give us the best sex talk, you know, but.
Well, no. See, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying in every instance that's the case. What I'm saying is in a lot of different instances, this is the case. There are those that are different, like, you know, like say yours, you got the talking to. I'm referring to those individuals that didn't get the talk. You know, those individuals whose mother didn't take the time to show up to school or didn't take the time to do for the kids like that because they were busy. You know, some of them aren't even thinking on it. Some adults don't even think about the talk. They don't think about, you know, let's keep an eye on my child. They're more or less, okay, well, this is the rules of the house. Make sure the dishes are done. You know, make sure you wash your clothes. Make sure you sweep the floors. Make sure you take the trash out. Okay, but there are other aspects that need to be talked about, and a lot of people, a lot of adults shy away from it. It definitely, I wouldn't assume that it was an easy task for a mother to talk to her boys about, look, this is how it works. This is what you need to do. This is what you don't want to do. A lot of talks start and stop with, don't bring no kids home.
Yeah.
Don't bring me no grandkids. Okay, but that's all you're saying. In the meantime, they have friends that are walking around, not necessarily with kids, but they're talking about how great sex was with Johnny, you know, and how, you know, interesting it was with Peter, or, you know what I mean, or Shaquille just put it on him, you know, and these girls are listening to that, and they're, you know, or even the guys are listening to it, and it's like, wow, okay, I got to get me some. And pressure is heavy. So if you don't counteract that right away, there's going to be an issue because the pressure, peer pressure, is it's crazy. It is crazy. You can be a pure outcast. Next thing you know, we're going into a whole other area, which is bullying, because now you're being treated like you don't know what's good. You know, Kurt Franklin has a song.
You're being treated like you're,
yeah,
like you're an outcast.
Yeah,
like you're if you're a guy, it's the worst thing in the world to be known as 17 or 18 and you haven't had sex yet. And even females, you wouldn't think that females are clowning other females for being a virgin, but females are getting clowned just as bad as boys. Like, what are you saving it for?
Yeah, yeah. See, like I was saying, Kurt Franklin had that song, you know, where he says, "Sex was how I made it through, teaching love. I surrendered. What else is there to do? From where I'm from, they call you gay, say you ain't a man." So then he follows through with saying, "Show 'em who you are. Show 'em. Hold on, it's like sex is all made through. Show 'em you're not. Show 'em you're not a punk. Get all the girls you can." That was his past. It's like, okay, well, and that's in most societies. It's like they're merciless. It's like, show 'em, you know, if you ain't what they are, if you're walking around, you're a virgin with no experience, you are a punk, you are basically deprived, you have no type of game whatsoever, you're that outcast. So you have to do the things that are needed to be done in order to show them that that's contrary to what they're saying, you know?
Or you end up being the guy that's lying about what he's done or who he's been with, or, you know, just so that they'll leave you alone, and, you know, until they make you start dropping names, or,
right,
you know,
right,
you're the girl who's sleeping with. And a lot of that, like, we go back to the family thing, a lot of that comes from, especially with girls, a lot of it comes from lack of that love, whether it's from your mother, but it's normally from your father. You're looking for that male connection. You're looking for, men don't understand how important they are to their daughters. You're the first man that your daughter loves. You're the first man that loves your daughter. You teach her, you show her what to expect from a man. You teach her and you show her what's acceptable from a man. And if she doesn't have that from you or any other male, like if there's no uncle or anybody else that steps in to be a role model to her, she has nothing. She has nothing to go by. So when some boy comes along and treats her like crap, she has no example to say, that's not how I'm supposed to be treated.
Right, right.
And she's just looking for love, so she'll take it in any form just to feel, you know, she'll take that 5-minute blowjob if that's what he wants. And he's, you know, she's, you're my princess, you're so good. She'll take that for right now. Even though she knows it's short-lived, it's something.
Right.
You know, she'll go and sleep with the whole football team just because, for as long as it took, she's special. She knows they only want her to have sex. They only invited her to the party so they could sleep with her, but she's important. She's special.
Now, see, when we underestimate, like you said, we underestimate the importance of that relationship, of any relationship. And I kind of, like with my daughter, like she's 18 now. Now, even though everything that you just said is right, there are some instances where a girl can get all that. But again, you look back on the peer pressure thing, and it's like with all the teaching you can give them, what it does is it instills what's right and wrong. But they still have freedom of choice. And if pressure is killing them, anything can happen. You know, that teaching, now I went and I was the first one to buy my daughter patent leather shoes. I bought her shoes. I was the first one to buy her snowsuit. I was the first one to buy her first rolls. She got her first diamonds from me. I did, because I wanted her, and I wasn't trying to spoil her. She was the only child. I wasn't trying to spoil her, but what I was trying to do was let her know that I wanted to be her first in everything, because I wanted, like you said, I wanted to set that example. So it's like, this is how you get treated. When Valentine's Day came around and I got her mother a dozen roses, I would turn around and I would get her like probably 6, you know, because I wanted her to know you're important too, you know, you're important too. This is the example that gets led. On Valentine's Day, your man shouldn't be sitting home playing Nintendo, you know, if he can at least acknowledge you on Valentine's Day. This is what this is what should happen, you know. And she picked up those lessons. She did. She picked them up. And she's not one that goes out and, as far as I know, she ain't sleeping around and all that stuff. She's very picky about men, and there's things that she wants from them now. If she's going to be in a relationship with them, there are things that she requires of them. So she pretty much got into that vibe. She pretty much did what she needed to do to get, you know, get where she's at now. So I did my part. I did a good job with her. But again, peer pressure can be a bitch.
And it
can fall to any type of pressure, you know, at any given time. So it does kind of, you know, it's a give and take. That's why
it's a two-edged sword. It's definitely, parenting in itself is definitely a two-edged sword. You know, where it's our job to build them up as much as we can to protect them, to give them the tools so that when they get, and nowadays it's middle school, you know, when they get to that age where people are going to force them, whether it be to do drugs, whether it be to have sex, whether it be to skip school, whether it be, you know, that they're geared up to do the things that they need to do. But like you said, I mean, we can only do so much. We can only give them the tools. It's up to them now that when they get into those situations to be confident enough to stand on what they've learned from us to say, yeah, I don't really mean to do that. You can call me a punk. You can call me gay. You can call me whatever you want, but I don't think so.
Well,
and it's hard.
Again,
and
that tool again, though, that two-edged sword, though, because especially if you're a guy, if you've never been taught, if you've never had that role model, you know, if you've never had that parent or that guardian or that person to tell you, this is how you handle this, this is how you don't have to do such and such to get such and such, if you don't have it, if you haven't been taught, it's easier said than done, you know. And it's funny because back in the day, my daughter was outside and there was a bully that was bullying her, this big girl. I mean, this girl was big. I mean, she knocked on my back door like she was a dude. And she had an issue with my daughter at the time. And I wasn't there. I know that I was there to one of the times that she did knock on my door. But there was a day I wasn't there. And her mother, she came in complaining, you know, this girl's bothering me and tried to hit me. And her mother, my daughter's mother told her, you go outside and you handle that and don't come back in until you have. If you don't handle it, then I'm going to handle you. That's how she came at her. And for me, it was kind of hard. But what ended up happening, she went outside and this girl started messing with her again. So my daughter beat her behind. And it was that fear that I'm going to get done in the house if I don't take care of business here. I had no choice. Now, that can be a crude awakening, and it could have even have been done. We can probably even say it was done wrong, per se. I don't know. I don't, because I've always been there for my kid. That, and I don't know if that's a weakness or what, but I'm not trying to watch my kid get beat up. That's the way I was thinking about it. But her thing was, I'm going to teach you how to handle your business. Either way, it was somebody telling her, look, this is what needs to happen. A lot of kids don't have that at all. They don't have it.
Yes.
They want to get upset when their kids get beat up or whatever, but the thing is, you've never bothered to teach them how to handle situations, so they don't know. When a bully's coming at you, or 10 or 5 or whatever, you know, if you've got to deal with things, you know, especially if it's a woman and you're trying to raise boys, I mean, the question comes, can a woman teach a boy how to be a man? And if there's no male figures, not that it can't be done, but if it goes back to that statement you made about the importance, and it's not just with a girl, the importance of a father's role in the family, it's a big role, and men underestimate it and don't pay it any mind. But even with boys, it's big for girls, but you can't, if a woman doesn't know how to be a man, how can she teach a boy how to be a man? You know?
Yeah.
And that's a question that I have. It's like, you can't, I was raised by a bunch of women. My father was in the picture, and he offered up guidance, so I wasn't guideless. But at the same time, I was raised by a bunch of women. But I was raised by a lot of women that were hard. We're talking like army women. My aunts were army; they were army brats, and they were in the army for years. So that's who I was raised by, you know. So it's hard. I understand what you were saying, but that's where that two-edged sword gets you coming and going, because if you were never taught how to be a man, when the bullies come, what do? And you have to not every boy that's out there is a wimp if he doesn't have a father. I'm not saying that either. But what I am saying is, you know, it helps to have that guidance from a male figure. It really does. And if you don't have the guidance, you can go astray. You can straight out become a bully yourself just to accommodate or substitute for what you're missing in life at home. You could be that bully at school because you were never directed. So, again, a male figure in the house, it's important.
Yeah, I mean, it goes both ways. I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, and this is mostly because there's a lot of fathers missing in the home, but mothers as well. There are an alarming rate of fathers raising their children due to, you know, women just, you know, taking off or rather, you know, go looking after the next man. I didn't really want the kid in the first place, so, you know, they dump them off on the man who, you know, kudos to those that step up to that role and take care of their child, you know. And it's hard. I mean, it goes both ways. How does a man teach a woman how to be a girl? How does a father? I'd hate to be a man and have to deal with my daughter when she starts to come into her own and starts developing. And, you know, how do you have a menstrual discussion with your daughter when you know absolutely nothing about it?
There you go.
You know, how do you have that discussion about her body and the changes and breasts and the emotional part that she's dealing with emotionally that most men don't, you know, I mean, they understand it because they've had a girlfriend from time to time, but they don't understand it just as, you know, a woman. We can teach a man how to be a man that we think men should be, but we can't really understand what emotionally or physically or in that type of way, you know, that a young man is growing up into a boy. We don't understand that. We don't know that. We don't know what they're going through, which goes back to, you know, the whole thing of, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, okay, if my man, my kid's father is out of the picture, where are my uncles? Where are my brothers? Where are the men in the church even to step in and take up for that young man and do things with that young man or with that young woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that she has some type of positive male role model in her life or his life? You know, we don't do that anymore as a community. We don't do that anymore. It's all, you know, we could see a child suffering, especially, you know, even within the church community, if we bring it to church, you know, because very little neighbors are going to do this. So let's bring it to family and church, you know. Even within family, you know, there's very old, like I have brothers, and my brothers most definitely didn't take up with my kids. You know, they didn't take my daughters out and do things with them. They didn't take my sons out and do things with them. My uncles most definitely didn't have anything to do with my kids. I've been to several different churches. There wasn't like, you know, you're almost out. I can't even think of the word, but you're almost, you know, you're set out. If you're single, you come in, you're a single mother, you've got more than one child, you got more than one baby's daddy. They kind of like look at you like, oh, you're just in church to try to find a man. The same if you're a single man and try to go to church, you're just there to try to find a woman, you know. And there's not that community sense that we need to raise our children. But, you know, everyone's right there to say when something goes wrong, but no one's there to help prevent these types of things from happening. No one's there to help build these children up, to give them that positive self-image of themselves that they need. So that, okay, my dad's not here, but Brother Tony was there for me. If I ever needed to talk, I knew I had Brother Tony to go to. You know, my dad left me, but Sister so-and-so and her husband would take me out to dinner every once in a while, so I knew what a man looked like when he treated a woman right. You know, we don't do that. And I personally don't know of many churches that do that. I don't know of many families that do that. And kids suffer. Kids grow up looking. Boys grow up not really knowing. They use their music. They use the TV. They use magazines. They use whatever else to teach them how to be a man. And most of these TV shows aren't telling these boys how to be a man. Most of the music they're listening to is telling them exactly what they're doing. Pull your pants down, act like a jerk, treat women like they're only good for one thing, and there you go. You know, and it's the same thing for the girls. I mean, their role models are Little Kim and, you know, these women on TV, these video chicks, you know, that are half naked and shaking their booties around, and that's what they have to look forward to, you know, because like you said, either the mother is working to support the family or she's looking for the next man that's hopefully going to be the one that's going to come in and save her family. She's not focused on the children, or her focus is her children, but unfortunately focusing on her children means she's got to work two or three jobs and she's in school and she can't be the parent that she would want to be if she had help.
Now, see, I got to backtrack because I really can't have you bashing Lil' Kim. I really can't. I think she's just horrific. No, but seriously, what's happened is the media, thanks to them, the media steps in, and because the media tries to get involved, now you've got the government involved, which hits another topic, which is basically the government stepping in and running the homes. And with that, now you got a whole new set of problems because the government's interfering with rules, whether it be a single parent home or a dual functioning home. Now you have the government saying what you can and can't do. Now back in the day, I mean, homes were ran, communities were ran, the country was ran with a different set of rules. You know, they didn't have to worry about the kids suing the parents. That's kind of crazy, you know. The day my 14-year-old decided, okay, I'm going to sue you, that would be a problem for me, a big problem. But the government says, okay, it's okay for you to sue your parents. It's okay for you to call the police on your parents if they spank you because you didn't get that daggone Xbox 360 you wanted. You acted a fool. You got beat down about acting like a fool and swearing at your parents. So now it's okay because they hit you, so now you can, one, sue them, two, you can call the cops on them, and we can help you out. And that's what the government's doing. I mean, granted, we have a bunch of, you know, abused kids out there, but you have kids that are taking, they know the law. They know the law now, and it's like any little thing that they can get from the law, they'll work it so that they don't have to deal with the situations that are going on in their lives. Sometimes it's justified, but in a lot of instances, what's happened is the government has taken control out of the hands of the parents. So now we have a whole new slew of issues that we have to deal with. And it really something needs to be done about that. I mean, because I had a parent that told me, you know, hey, if they're telling me I can't spank my kid, and my kid wants to act up, I can't touch my kid, well, fine. They can have them. If they feel that I'm not doing my job, and this was a woman that was able to handle herself, you know, she was handling her kids well. So she had a point to an extent. It's like, you know, because we were joking around talking about it back in the day, and it was like, you know, I do a good job with my kids. So if the government wants to come and try to tell me how to run my house, then they can have the kids. Because I'm not going to run my house according to the way the government wants me to run my house when what I'm doing works for me. If they're going to get upset because they can't have what they want and then they call the police or whatever, then the police can take them. That's where the mother's thought was. And that's where a lot of people's thought is. It's like, I don't, you know, agree with what the government's doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, It's totally ridiculous, you know. It's getting to, you know, the point where, you know, they don't want us to do anything with our kids. They want us to do timeout, which does not work with every child. You know, they got the nanny and that other one on TV that shows them, no matter how unruly your child is, timeout works. bull. It doesn't work, you know, with every child. And what parent really wants to spend, like on this show, you know, she's doing 3-4 hours of back and forth. We put the kid in the bed at 8, and she's telling the parents, no matter how long it takes, it's midnight, oh, he finally went to bed. Really? You really want me every night to keep, I have to get up for work in the morning. I have other kids that need to get sleep, so I'm supposed to let this child basically rule me and tell me I'm just going to keep putting you back in the bed. Well, I'm just going to keep putting you back in the bed. Well, I'm just going to keep putting you back in the bed until you get the hint that I'm not going to deal with whatever it is you're doing. I'm just going to keep, you know. But when that child now grows up and he gets out of line, they want to turn it back around and say, well, it's the parent's fault. Well, you told me I couldn't spank my child.
It
not
is.
Necessarily abuse him, but I can't spank him. I can't yell at him now. Some states, you know, they're charting that you shouldn't yell at your child, you know. So basically what they're saying is the only thing that you can do is time out, which doesn't work for all children, you know. We got a caller on the line. I don't know if she was just calling to listen in or if they wanted to actually speak. The caller from the 215 area code, you're on the line.
Hi, how you doing today?
How are you?
Good. I was listening
I
to stop. I was listening to you guys talking for some time, and a lot of good stuff here. I think we're missing something, though. You just touched on a very good point here on what the government, and this is what's happening with family today. Keep in mind, the kids today know more about sex and anything else than we do. These kids, we live in a world of technology.
Yeah.
These kids go online. These kids can teach us anything because they are bombarded with it constantly. And then big business is constantly after the kids. They want them. They want them to sell the iPods. They want to sell them the pants down to the knees. I mean, hip-hop movement is one of the biggest movements, one of the most profitable businesses in the United States today.
It is.
They are controlling our kids. That's why they don't want us to do anything with them. They want our kids. But kids know what's going on. Now, family, the structure of family has been being destroyed since day one. But back in the 60s, it's when family really started to break apart, and especially in the color community, especially black community. I'm Latino. And I remember raising up in the Bronx, in the South Bronx, South Bronx and Harlem, and when we had leaders, we had Martin Luther King, Pedro Aviso Campos, Malcolm X, we had these things, we had some hope, but after that, they were assassinated. A lot of these kids put their energy into the streets, and that's what came up with the hip-hop movement, the drug infestation, that it wasn't just happened to, you know, conveniently just be placed there. I just saw an article today on the CIA and drugs, which is a fact, how the CIA was involved in putting drugs in our community. Government is controlling our children, especially in the hood. And we have to understand that, you know, kids are being taught one thing. No matter how good of a parent we can be, I have 4 children. No matter how good of a parent you can be, you know, you have to fight the system each day. Because the system is going to go against you no matter what. No, you cannot do this. No, you cannot do that. No, you cannot. When I was being raised, we had lamps all over the house, but no electrical cords on them. They weren't working lamps. Because my dad, when he came from work, he took cut that electrical cord. When he couldn't find his body, he whipped me with it. You know, whatever he can find. But he taught me well. You can't even raise your voice on a child. They have an 800 number now.
Yeah.
So kids feel a lot more independent, and they feel a lot more separate than what we are. They think they can tell us what to do, and government is helping them with this. So we're losing the respect here for family.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and then when they bombard them with the drugs and bombard them with the iPods, they got to have this, they got to have that, glorified these idols and these guys, basketball players and football. Come on. We got to be the role models, the parents. Get the basketball players and all these guys. These, half of these guys are on drugs. Half of these guys ain't doing nothing right, you know. So we got to get back to family. But how do we get back to family? That's the question there. And you know, no matter how much education we give them, they're going to diseducate them
in the
schools.
What is your name again, sir?
My name is Vito.
Vito? Okay.
Yes,
ma'am. No. See, and I'm appreciating that. And that is a valid question as far as to what do we do to get back to family. Because you look at it, and one might think, looking at it, that it's almost impossible with the change that we've had. It becomes an individual affair with each family. Because back in the day, my uncle was acting up. And I heard the story like 50 times over. But my uncle was going to high school and acting up in school, and they called my grandmother. My grandmother went, watched him outside the door of the classroom acting a fool. Went in there, took a pointer from off of the board, and to beat his behind in front of his classmates. And then she left.
All right.
She put it down. She looked at the teacher, you know, as if to say, don't even think about it. Beat his behind, and then left. Now, she didn't have a problem with him after that. But if somebody were, if she were to do that today, in this time and age,
she'd be arrested.
Yeah, she'd be arrested. The teachers would have bombarded the room, grabbed her out the room, you know, and it would have been a problem. Back then, the neighbors, if my uncle and my aunts and my mother, if they ever did anything out of the way, the neighbor was allowed to say, look, I don't think this was not right. They were able to snatch the kids up and be like, look, I'm going to beat you behind, then I'm going to let your mother know when I got home. And then they get
That's right. The neighbor would have grabbed you by the ear and take you right to your parents.
Right, exactly. And you can't do that now. You cannot touch. As a matter of fact, we as parents have done a lot of that now ourselves because you don't know who to trust. So, you know, if somebody grabs up your kid, half of these parents are like, don't ever touch my kid. You know, but back in the day, it was
That's
about
true.
50 cents. So everybody knew everybody. Everybody loved everybody, watched out for each other's kids. We don't have.
Well, not even to that, but if a lot of these parents allow their kids to act any old type of way, because not even touching somebody's kid. If I was to go to my neighbor and say, like I told he the other morning, we had the neighbor kids out here ringing our doorbell at 8:30 in the morning and running off. Now, if I go over there and I go across the street and I knock on the door and I say, your kid just rang my doorbell at 8:30 in the morning and ran off, do you think she's going to discipline her kid? No, she's going to turn around and get an attitude with me. Why are you accusing my kid? How do you know? You know, so the kids know they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah. That's why
That's
I'm saying
true.
it's a hard thing. I mean, I'm agreeing with it. It's just a hard thing to see us getting back to where we used to be because now not only have we lost it as parents, but the government has stepped in and set boundaries now, which I doubt they're going to go back and say, okay, now it's okay. And these kids, like you were saying there, they've got the internet, they've got all these other idols, they've got all this stuff going on for them now. They know the law. They know a lot of
Well, things. Also understand that our kids, black and Latino kids, have different problems from their kids.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
And they live up in the suburbs. They live a whole different life. You know, they have no idea what it is to raise a kid who lives in the hood. They have no idea. So to them, it's abuse, but their kid will probably never need that 1-800 number, you know, because the kid has everything he wants. The kid is spoiled. The kid is in the best schools. Our kids are not. Our kids are trying to find something else in
They've got another set, a whole different set of problems because now they have a situation where they're into the material things now themselves, and their children are being neglected. So they don't even know what's going on with their kids. And it's their kids that are running up into school with shotguns. You know what I'm saying? So it's a whole different situation with them. Normally, you're not going to hear, okay, well, it was this black child that ran up in school and shot everybody up and then shot himself.
You know what's happening here in Philadelphia right now? Majority, I think it's about 60 to 70% of the kids from 18 to I think it was 25, cannot join the military or ever get a government job. You know why?
Why?
Because they have criminal records. They have criminal records. So what is this? if you look at that and then look back in the 60s of the movement and how the drugs and the crack suddenly came in there. You ever heard of this guy Ross? Ross was a black man from, I think it was Baltimore, who was working with the CIA, and he admitted this. He admitted it. He's in prison for life now. And he was getting drugs from the CIA, and he's the one that came up with the crack and started it and put it nationwide. This guy made millions and millions and millions. And then the CIA turned his back on him. You can search this guy. I think it's Rob Ross. It's his name, Will Ross. And that was what killed most of our children off and separate them from us. You know, to get them back, you know, it's almost impossible because now they are living an entirely different life of what we had planned for them, or we could remember when they were five, when they were six, how good of a kid they were. But once they hit that street, you know, they have nothing to go for now. You know, the guy would rather be a drug dealer than to do anything else. But again, there is no jobs for them out there. You know, and racism in America has gotten worse in the past 4 or 5 years. I mean, it is really ugly out here. You know, so people of color have to do something, but we have to understand who the enemy really is. You know, they are against us. They are against us, and there is a systematic administrative thing that they're doing to get rid of us. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, just look at the 60s to now, how the drugs came in, the hip-hop movement, the ghetto. I mean, come on. Come on, we're killing each other off?
Even with ailments, I was appalled when I was watching HBO and they had I forget what that special was, but like they had one on the government, then they had that movie about the AIDS, when AIDS started.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
The truth that's coming out behind those, especially like with the syphilis, the government was allowing, they had the cure, and they held on to the cure for like a while before they dispersed it to people because it's like they wanted to see. We became their guinea pigs, and they wanted to see how long it would take to kill off certain races, how long it would take to kill off certain people or certain ages, and they just let it run. And they did the same with AIDS.
And they're not going to use their own people. They're going to use us.
Yeah. So
that's what they have done. That's what they have done forever.
That was exactly what their game plan was with syphilis. And
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
yes, the Tataji, I believe it's called the Tataji project, I believe it was, and also abotomies that they did in the prison to other black inmates. You know, there were so many things that had happened, but people, I don't know, in America, people just don't seem to put one and one together. I mean, it's so simple. You know, I mean, Nazi Germany was a civilized nation. Overnight, it became a ruthless empire.
Yeah.
You know, this can happen in America, especially now where we are so split between whites and blacks.
Yeah.
We are so split here, you understand? And us Latinos, we're the damn middle of everything all the time because, like, you know, we get hate from both sides.
it's
an issue here. It's a big issue.
Conversation, and it's going to take, we may have to come back next week with this conversation because there's so much to it. Right now, we got.
Yeah, there is. There really is a lot to this. It is complicated, but
we definitely want to come back with this conversation. We appreciate everything that you put into this deal because, and everything that you said was correct. I mean, there's so much that can go into.
Well, thank you for having me here. I was listening for a while, and I had it to.
Todd, that was a beautiful, beautiful poem you gave us in the beginning. We really, I totally enjoyed that. I've heard it before, but I loved it when you spoke it out. I loved it. But to those of you that, you know, couldn't make it in, that's okay. Tune in next week because we're probably going to continue this conversation right here, and we're gonna see where it takes us because there's a lot that can be covered. In the meantime, Kai, you got anything you want to say?
Nope. I think you covered it all. I just want to thank our guests who called in. We appreciate, like Tony said, all of your input and your wisdom. And, you know, feel free to join us next Sunday. If we're not talking about this, we will definitely be talking about something else just as important. You can check our page to see what I do have down to talk about next week. But like I said, I mean, the last one we had, we talked about relationships, and that one went over, you know, family. You know, sure to go over next week. I actually have that we were going to talk about career versus relationships. you know, how people choose their career over relationships or even family, you know, wait forever to have kids or, you know, and how that affects people. But, you know, the topics take us where they take us. So, you know,
I'll be back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
God bless you, Vito. God bless you.
God bless.
And we'll talk to you all later.
Is that fun?
No, why you were talking.
I was talking. I heard you two talk. I jumped in. Why is it? What is it doing? Serious.
Years.
Come on, you two. I said go take a bath. One. Two. Come on. Take your pillow, Jobby. And, never mind. I told you I'd do it. Go ahead. Bath. I told you I'd do it. Go. Go take a shower. Quick shower because you still need to eat and it's 9 o'clock. You ate dinner? Oh, that's right. You ate downstairs. Okay. So get your bath while he's in the shower. You can get your clothes out for tomorrow. Check the clothes in the dryer and see if they're dry. They're in the dryer right there. You pulled clothes upstairs, right? Yes, you did. Didn't you just bring a load upstairs? Where's the other load? You put it in the dryer downstairs?
Mm-hmm.
No, there were two loads of dark clothes, Jennifer. There were dark clothes and then there were jeans. Can you bring them both upstairs?
I didn't know he said he wasted the bowl of applesauce, so I figured it was a bowl. It is 9:30.
What?
It is almost 9:30. It is
it's almost 9:30. Why are you huffing food at almost 9:30?
Nobody's playing. You're going to go take a shower and you're going to bed.